With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Erica Ramirez.
Hi, guys.
And we've each got some exciting news.
Oh, really? Do we?
Jason and I just got back from Firefly.
Oh, yeah, we did just get back from
in
Firefly.
Dover, Delaware, which was really fun. And I think the best, like, Paul McCartney was there. It's kind of hard to beat Paul, but Betty Who was incredible.
Yeah.
There were some great performances.
Spoon was great.
Did you guys almost really get good. Struck by lightning?
We did not get struck.
Kind of,
struck
yeah. There was a huge. They ended the second, or I guess technically a third day early because of a big thunderstorm.
Yeah, Saturday night they evacuated.
And I was talking to a guy who was like, I mean, of course, maybe he's embellishing, but he was like, "Yeah, I like left my tent just as this big branch like crashed down onto it." Mm. So I feel like they definitely like. Lucked out by people not dying.
Yeah, absolutely. It was pretty crazy. I feel like somebody asked me like what this like the most memorable performances were, and I feel like there were like memorable performances, but they were just like there's a lot of like solid bands playing solid sets. Like it's like a Spoon show isn't going to be like mind blowing right. In terms of like surprises, but like yeah, they grind out their hits. Same with like the Killers and obviously Paul McCartney. And yeah, some of the smaller bands we saw, Betty Who, you said, Wolf Alice was great, and Cody Simpson, shout out to the Codester. He
the
was
Code Red.
Really, really good. Yeah.
Are these really his names? Like, are these really his nicknames?
No, I just call him the Codester because we're BFF. No, I just, I don't know. Anyway, was great.
But yeah, more excitingly, definitely. I think, is... Erica is taking Beyonce's, or rather the Beyonce-approved 22-day vegan challenge.
Yes.
Or diet. I don't know if it's a diet or a challenge. But
it's a,
so
it's
you're
a
on, like,
challenge.
Day two.
I'm on day two,
you
and
already
I
look
am
cold
dying
and tired.
In the inside.
Erica's
emotionally and physically
is sitting
dying.
Here and taping the podcast wearing a Snuggie and looking like she is over the entire world.
Here, like, I'm not mad yet. I'm just, like, tired. I guess I am mad. I'm mad that I'm tired.
Yeah.
So at, like, 4 p.m., I've noticed that me and my editor, Denise Warner, who's also doing the diet, we just kind of, like, want to die and crash.
Oh, goodness.
And so, yeah, we're on day two. God bless us.
20 days left. Well, yeah, you just saw the Beyonce Good Morning America thing, and you were so moved by that segment.
Well,
it was a really inspirational.
I was moved by the 8 a.m. wake-up call. I wasn't moved by that. But who does not want to look like Beyonce is my question.
I mean,
it's true.
I don't,
I
for
do.
Obvious reasons.
I do.
Jason
I definitely
would.
Do, for sure. I feel like, no, well, you're on day two. I honestly feel like, this is my prediction. I think by day five, you'll have accepted it and gotten a little bit used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, all right, now I'm okay. I feel like it's going to take those first 4 days. And then day
right.
five, you're like, it's at, like, all the stuff is out of your system.
I hope so.
You've cleansed. And now you're great.
And then I'm going to be like, I quit. I am done with this.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, like, show your support by sending us gift certificates to places
food?
We can eat on the 23rd day.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
Burgers.
Yeah, let's go to, like, Applebee's.
I mean, the craziest thing is not the vegan diet. It's just no alcohol or caffeine.
Well, I think...
I don't know.
We're having like Denise and I are having different struggles. I think her struggle is she literally drinks like 3 Diet Cokes, yeah. 4 Diet Cokes a day. So she's having like caffeine headaches, and I am. Why am I dying? I think it's more of like I'm
usually
like,
have a full glass of whiskey before you hit work. So
exactly.
I feel like, yeah, that's been a problem.
No, it's not the whiskey that I used to drink every morning. It's the sweets. I think I'm very used to like sweets and snacks and like cookies and all that stuff that I can no longer have. So
cookies are great.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Anyways, there are vegan cookies, but anyways, this is way too much food talk.
Right,
so
too much
enough
okay.
about the must eat. Not eat podcast because that's what you're on right now.
Yes.
Let's start off with another very exciting thing. Let's kick off with Janet. So we've got a new Janet Jackson song. It's called No Sleep. It's No
three
Sleep
E's.
With three E's because no misspelling sleep. Is cool. it always has been, always will be.
Yeah.
And I mean, basically, so yeah, you, Erica, why don't you
I
talk
think
about
we, well,
before you
I,
pass out from
I
hunger.
I probably will fall asleep in like the next 5 minutes. Jason and I were talking about this offline, and I think he likes it more than I do.
I do.
Mostly because I think I have high expectations for Janet because she's Janet. But then again, it is 2015. It's been, 7 years since Disciple came out. I wasn't a big fan of that album.
I don't think most people were.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is like a good song. Like, it's a good song. It's, you know, I like the whole, like, very sensual vibe to it. I like the lyrics, and I mean, it makes sense for her. I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I kind of wanted something more upbeat, but it's like, should Janet be that upbeat in 2015? Like, I don't know. I have questions.
There's still time. It's only the first from a new album.
But I do like it. I really do like it. I enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I obviously as Erica alluded to, I do like this song more than you do. I just think it kind of reminds me of when Maxwell came back with Pretty Wings, and it was just like Maxwell being Maxwell, like super smooth and classy, and it kind of reminds me of this. It's like Janet just that voice and that vibe and that just kind of atmosphere that she exists in on this record is just so welcome of a return. I just really enjoy this. I don't think it's anything groundbreaking, but I don't think it needs to be. I think it's just very sensual and positive. It makes me, it's like a feel good slow jam.
I guess I want it to be groundbreaking. I guess that's my problem.
Yeah.
But like, not that it's, so it has nothing to do with actually the song. It's just the fact that I want a song to be groundbreaking for Janet.
Yeah. I just don't think she's at the point in her career where she's trying to do that. I think she just wants to kick off this tour, which is going to be, let's face it, the big moneymaker of this comeback is the tour.
Absolutely.
She wants something to kind of kick off the tour with, and I think this is a good one.
Yeah, I really like this song, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. Just
yeah,
because
same.
I feel like with the last album, like, it came and went, and, like, there's just something, like, you get to a certain point, like, where she's at, and, yeah, she's not going to be, like, trendsetting anymore, I feel.
Yeah.
And so you get when, like, someone like that comes back and tries to, like, do, like, the hot new thing, then you end up kind of getting into that trend-chasing mode. Right. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I feel like, you know, Madonna kind of did that on her last album, you know, by hooking up with Diplo and all those other people. And while I do very much like the song Bitch, I'm Madonna, like, it is a little ridiculous. Like, it's not a comfortable fit,
I think,
really.
This is the first time I've heard you say that.
And this is, yeah.
Admit that.
And this, but this sounds, this is a really comfortable fit for Janet. And I like.
Yeah, I agree.
That it kind of reminds me, too, of like the best of latter day Prince when, like, he's not afraid to, like, be vintage, but the production is still kind of, like, crisp and modern enough. And plus, yeah, like, her voice sounds great. Like, it sounds really good. And I also want to add in, so I recently was interviewing Dennis Leary. He has this FX show coming up called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Mm-hmm. And through absolutely, I did not even bring this up. I was not even asking him what he was listening to, but he specifically brought up this Janet Jackson song and was like, man, I just love this song so much. Like, her voice is so strong. There's not a lot of vocal, you're not a studio trickery. He was just like raving about this Janet song.
There are many No Sleep with 3 E's fans.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it has the all-important Dennis Leary endorsement. Phew. So, I know that's very important to the R&B community in general, is like, what does Dennis Leary think? Like, what does the Rescue Me guy think about this song? It's like, we need to get him to weigh in. So, yes. And we got the exclusive scoop on that. So, game over. Here we go.
What is that? You're just saying stuff.
I'm just saying words like scoop. Game over. Game over. Yeah. It. Anyways, let's listen to it though. So it's the new Janet Jackson song from. Is it album still entitled?
It's still entitled. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was Unbreakable.
I mean, I think that's the name of her tour.
Oh.
She keeps there you go. Tweeting a hashtag of conversations in a cafe, so people think that that's the title. But yeah.
Conversations in a cafe. That's like a Simon and Garfunkel. What if it's like hashtag
conversations in a cafe? Like Miguel, like hashtag beautiful.
Not a good idea. All right. Anyways, so new Janet, No Sleep. All right, that was new Janet Jackson. And let's move to kind of a sonically similar song, but from a slightly different artist. We've got Selena Gomez featuring ASAP Rocky, new song, Good For You.
Good For You. Good for Selena Gomez.
Good for Selena, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like this time last year, if you told me that Selena Gomez was going to put out basically 3 singles and 2 of them were going to be slower, or at least mid-tempo, and the third one was going to be the dance song, I would have been very surprised to hear myself say that I like the dance song the least, which is I Want You to Know, the Zed song with her. The other two being The Heart Wants What It Wants, which I really liked, and now Good For You, which is a very, again, like Janet, very sensual, very, you know, I think there's the line about, you know, throw my dress, put my dress is a mess on the floor. So I think that Selena's kind of totally, I mean, she's been past her Disney phase, but like Spring Breakers and whatnot. But like, I feel like this is like her saying, all right, I'm 23 now, or 22,
I think 22, but I'm not a Selenator personally. So nothing against her, but I don't.
Is that what her age. I thought it was? I've always thought of it as Selenator.
No, it's like Senator. Like Selenator, I think.
Oh, guys, really?
I haven't been fed real food. This is
I don't know. Hopefully there's a Selenator or Selenator listening.
Anyway, I think that she shows her range on the song. It's very much in like a haze. It sounds like she listened to a lot of The Weeknd before she recorded this and wanted to get that kind of, you know, hazy, foggy vibe that he's got. I don't know if she needed to get ASAP Rocky on this song. I think that, you know, two minutes in, it's not like I'm like, oh, you know, what would be really great would be ASAP Rocky kind of barging in. I just don't think it works stylistically, but
I don't think it would need like any rapper also.
Yeah, exactly. It's
and like it also, like you said, it also comes in, I don't know if you were meaning to say this, but he also comes in like really early on.
Yeah.
Like also, so.
Yeah, it's just, and I agree. I don't think any rapper was necessary. Right. I just think it's a standalone song for.
Probably could have been like a remix.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Exactly.
Could
have had Gucci Mane and Quavo, like on the.
I mean,
the,
listen,
Trap
the Gucci Mane would have been great to remember.
Can you imagine? Oh my goodness! But yeah, so I definitely another positive vibe from Selena. Another feather in her cap, as it were. And I'm interested because obviously the song is doing really well on iTunes. I'm not sure if it's going to be like a radio hit, but, you know.
I could see it doing well, actually. Yeah. Like, it's a really solid song. And I feel the same way. Like, I'm not, like, honestly, I don't, Selena Gomez is not an artist where I'm like, oh, I've never listened to a full Selena Gomez album.
What?
Like, I'll pay attention to the singles, but, like, I'm just, it's just not my thing.
Nick Jonas.
You don't even know how good Selena Gomez and the scene were.
I guess I don't.
I missed the scene.
Maybe it's time to rectify that. Well, I've been saying this. So Selena Gomez and the scene and Nick Jonas in the administration. I want the two jilted bands, the administration and the scene, to like get together and then do a Jonas Selena bashing album. I would love that.
I'm like sure you will.
Like, how long have you been thinking about this?
I have thought about that before. My other new idea.
Crazy, man.
So, like, how actually, like, we're talking about the A$AP Rocky verse, how Miguel had the album version of Coffee doesn't have Wale on it, right?
There's two versions, but I think the one, yeah, I think you're right.
So, like, maybe that'll be her album. She'll, like, take this is the single, and then the verse will be off it, but she'll probably have the verse on it.
Yeah, I think she'd keep.
And I agree, it definitely doesn't need it, but, like, it's fine. I don't think it's totally out of place, but it's just. It's a very solid, like, and I think the thing that really works for me is that, you know, we saw her grow up, so it's kind of hard to see, especially in the Disney setting, and she, like, looks younger. Like, she's 22 or 23. We still don't know. We may never know, because it's not like we have the internet. But anyways, like, she looks younger than she is, so it's, like, kind of hard to see her as, like, a sensual singer, but, like, on this song, she really sells it. Like, her voice is there. It sounds great. Like, she sounds like a grown-up woman singing.
Yeah, it's funny how artists go about distancing themselves from their childhood music in different ways. And, you know, I think Selena's gone about it a totally different way than Miley, and obviously a totally different way than someone like Justin Bieber. And I think I do agree that you think of Selena and you think of her as younger, but even though she's not necessarily younger than them. And I mean, then she drops something like this and it helps the cause a lot.
Totally. But
like,
what?
I honestly spaced out for a second.
Thank you. I'm just going to talk at you the rest of the podcast.
No, because I actually really like this song. And you guys touched on, like, I believe her. I guess that's what, like, my main thing is. I believe what she's saying, and, like, I believe the album, the single artwork.
Can you do me a favor? If you do break your diet over the next 3 weeks, can I be there so I can play The Heart Wants What It Wants while you do it? You're like slow-mo eating cheesecake.
Heart wants what it wants. Get back to the subject.
All right.
Which is Selena Gomez.
Let's play some Selena Gomez. All right,
let's play some Selena. So this is Selena featuring A$AP Rocky, Good For You. Cause I just wanna look good for you, uh-oh. I just wanna look good for you, uh-oh. Let me show you how proud I am to be yours. Alright, that was new Selena Gomez and A$AP Rocky. Next up, this is one of my picks. We've got The Chemical Brothers featuring St. Vincent, who, as Jason and I think Erica knows, St. Vincent is, like, just a passion of mine. Like, I don't even know. It's so, I'm so into her music that I don't even like to talk about it, because
I didn't know this.
I don't know what it is. Like, her, I've always loved her music, and that last album just, like, it hit absolutely every right note for me.
Then why wouldn't you want to share that with the world?
Because it's almost too personal.
Wow.
I'm exaggerating it, but I'm a big fan. She's probably, like, my favorite current artist who's, like, still making vital music. But anyways, so St. Vincent is on a Chemical Brothers song.
You just can't stop smiling.
Which is why I picked it. I'm a big Chemical Brothers fan, though. I loved them in high school. I feel like they're in this kind of interesting position in their career where they are legends, and that's totally recognized, but unlike someone like, I guess, Tiesto, who's been around not quite as long as them, but similarly a long time, like, they haven't really been, like, working the festival scene or the touring scene as much. Like, and I feel like that's kept someone like a Tiesto, or to a lesser extent Moby, because he doesn't really tour a ton, but, like, in the public eye. And the Chemical Brothers are basically, you know, pretty much the same kind of music, like techno, as it was called back then, EDM now, or dance, or whatever the hell we're calling it. Someone needs to figure that out. Like, please, within the next 5 years. But when I think dance, I think, like, Fred Astaire. So I'm not, like, too happy with that either.
I thought you said Fred Astaire, but go on.
We'll figure this out in a different podcast. But so they're in this position where they're still, like, very talented. But like it's 2015, and if you just put out like a new Chemical Brothers album and you're not really touring, like it's kind of just going to go unnoticed. So I think what's smart is that last year they were on the Hunger Games soundtrack with Lord and Miguel. Now they've got St. Vincent on this. I think their upcoming album is going to have some other guests. Like that's just kind of like a surefire way to like get more interest like in the 21st century is put two artists that people like together and then, you know, more people are going to pay attention to it. So anyways, this song is called Under Neon Lights. It's just kind of like, it reminds me of kind of the, like the minimal, like almost like Daft Punk's Tron soundtrack a little bit. And I think St. Vincent's voice sounds great on this. She has that kind of like weird, like android vocal thing where it's like robotic, but she, you get the sense that there's like emotion trying to escape from her. But it's just, it's, you know, it's a little offbeat. It's cool. I like it.
Yeah. It's, this is a totally separate discussion, but it's been interesting for me to see what these pre-EDM boom electronic stars have done. People like Chemical Brothers, a lot of people from, I'm thinking like mid to late 90s, even some early 2000s, like Basement Jacks and Paul Oakenfold, and you said Moby, and it's interesting to see how they've kind of found their little niche in this new landscape of electronic music. And yeah, I always have loved the Chemical Brothers. I was a big Dig Your Own Hole fan, and I think that this song is, and I am not a St. Vincent fan, as Joe
I know,
knows.
Yeah.
But, why aren't you a St. Vincent fan?
That's a whole.
I have
that's
to cover my
whole,
ears. I can't.
I think
I'm not like that familiar with her, but like I've heard some.
I think she's a tremendous performer and a great guitarist, and I don't like her songwriting. And shout out to Annie Clark because she's an awesome person, but I just don't vibe with her songwriting personally. Anyway, I think that this was a cool team up, though. Like, I really think that this is not something that's like transcendent, but works for both artists and keeps the Chemical Brothers on a path where they're doing, like, I think you said the word was vital. I think that is what this is that this is not them playing on their legacy. This is them trying to create a new legacy. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think it's, I think Joe mentioned it, of, like, having these type of artists collaborate with, like, newer artists to kind of stay within the scene. Jason's getting up and turning on the lights. No, it makes me not want to be sleepy.
Sorry, it's a little dark in this room. You can keep talking.
Sorry.
Now. Yeah. We're just having
behind-the-scenes
technical problems.
Yes. No, and so I really do like that they are, like you said, I think we talked about this Hunger Games song on the podcast.
We did,
I enjoyed that song. I really like this song, too. I just like also that, like you said, that they're bringing like new artists into the fold so then they could kind of keep that going.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. Well, while we fiddle with the lights in this room, let's all take a listen to it. So, Chemical Brothers featuring St. Vincent, Under Neon Lights. That was Chemical Brothers featuring St. Vincent. And let's talk about, this is Jason Pick, the radio department.
Yeah.
The song is called Occupied. I'd say this was a lot different sounding than I expected.
Really?
Because I thought this is the radio department, like, from the 90s, right?
No. Or was it? I mean, I know them from their 2010 album. And
maybe I'm getting it mixed up with someone else.
Maybe you're thinking of, like, Radiohead? Is that what you're thinking about?
Radiohead. I think I've heard of that. Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
I'm going to look up when their first album came out, because maybe they were around the 90s. But anyway, Radio Department is a band. They're a Swedish pop band. They put out an album in 2010. I'm looking up if they put out album. No, their first album was 2003, which is what I thought. But anyway, their 2010 album, Cling to a Scheme. Oh, my goodness. That album is so great. And just very clean indie pop from Sweden. It's just tremendous. And they've been quiet for the past couple of years, and they finally came out with a new song last week. It's called Occupied. It's going to be featured on an EP also called Occupied, and I think an album is coming, which is exciting. Anyway, this is just like sad dance music to the max. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is like 7 minutes of just kind of wistful dance piano and like very busy percussion, and it's something that is just it just blows me away listening to the song. It's just so enjoyable to listen to. It's like almost like a sumptuous dance song, and I totally recommend it. I just think that this is the type of group that takes its time and perfects what it's doing before it rushes anything out. And it's been a while, and I'm happy they're back. So yeah, Radio Department, Occupied.
Radio Department. Yeah. Anyways, I did, aside from Confusion, I liked the song.
There are no Radiohead.
There are no Radiohead. No, for the record, I was not thinking of Radiohead. But yeah, so anyways, it sounds like, and I'm not sure if it's a sample or like, it sounds so much like it though. It has to be like somewhat inspired by, but the kind of synth, like held down riff in it, like sounds a lot like Laura Palmer's theme from Twin Peaks, which was famously sampled by Moby in his song Go, which was kind of his breakthrough career making song. Maybe not career making, but it was like his breakthrough. So, and that the Twin Peaks music is by Angelo Badalamenti, who is coming back for the reboot on Showtime, which is very exciting.
You're going down a worm.
Now I'm going down a worm. Wikipedia.
St. Vincent and Twin Peaks.
Anyway. Anyways, though. So, yeah, it's like whether it's inspired by or like sampling, like it's a cool sound. Like the Twin Peaks soundtrack is just kind of what you're saying, like this moody, like synth, depressing, sad dance music.
Yeah, I would just love to hear the song live, like, yeah. And Radio Department doesn't really do that much live performances, especially in the U.S. But if we can get them over, I will be there.
Let's get working on those visas, guys.
Come on. But yeah, if you listen to this song and like it, I urge you to check out "Clinging to a Scheme," which came out in 2010. Just a great album. I think like Pitchfork was on that album. I think they got like a Best New Music. So I don't know.
All right.
They're good.
Did you have any thoughts, Erica?
No, because this song sounds like the other song, one other song that you guys picked today, and I can't remember.
Nice.
All right.
I love that ringing endorsement, Erica. I can't wait to track your diet just on these podcasts. Like, I'm going to listen to like the one next week. You're just going to be like, I'll be like, and Erica Ramirez is here. Oh, shut up.
I'm already like that, but okay. Sorry, Joe.
No, anyway. That's fine. Yeah. You know, get well soon. And by get well, I mean get off of a diet. So let's listen to it. The Radio Department, Occupied. The Radio Department. So let's do an Erica pick. We've got Leon LaHavis. Song is "What Don't You Do." I like that title. I can't. Is that mean? Is it like nice?
Do you think that's how she said it? Like when she was writing it?
I thought it was impressed. Like, what don't you do?
Oh my god!
Of course, I took it the negative way. And Jason took it the positive way.
Like but, the like the that Sarah Jessica Parker movie. What was it? I don't know how she does it. Like that's the movie.
Don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know
that
about.
Movie?
What?
Jess, our producer, knows that movie. Jessica Parker is like, it came out a couple years ago. It was like Sarah Jessica Parker is a busy woman in New York. Oh, is that when she's
like a mom? She's a mom, and
but all, yeah, she's a mom that also works. I don't know how she does it. Like that was.
But that was like a joke, right? Like the way they said it was like a joke.
I
don't
think so. I only saw. Yeah.
But I mean, oh my God, a movie about a working mom. That's pretty pioneering for 2012. Yeah. You know, those were the dark ages.
It literally
back then.
Was like I only saw the trailer, but it was like Greg Kinnear being like, "You're so busy, Sarah Jessica Parker," and she's like, "I know."
Oh my gosh, that sounds so horrible.
But you know what?
Oh my gosh.
But you know what
I'm writing a letter to the studio.
The best Sarah Jessica Parker movie is Girls Just Want to Have Fun, co-starring Helen Hunt and Shannon Doherty. If anyone hasn't seen it, late 80s teen movie. It's about her dancing.
This is
and
an all Joe podcast. I love,
I love
it. So
it.
Much.
There's a really incredible part where to get back at the like bitchy debutante, like who's like also trying to steal her guy.
Yeah.
She invites a bunch of punks and new wavers to her ball.
Nice.
And of course, when you invite punks to a party, what happens is they drive motorcycles through the window. And then, grab old people's wigs and start, like, throwing punch on everyone.
When was this movie made?
This is from, like, late to or mid-80s.
Oh, okay.
I think it's got to be mid-80s, because Shannon Doherty is, like, pre-Heathers. Anyways, it's a really,
wow.
I would highly recommend.
No, like, I'd rather talk about this than, like, even though I chose a Leanne LaHavis song.
All right, Leanne LaHavis.
I wasn't that excited with the first single. I can't remember the name of the first
Blood,
single.
I think, right?
Was
or
it? No. That name doesn't ring a bell. But so I don't. It was a little bit. Well, I'm gonna say low key, but that's really how Leanne LaHavis' music is.
Yeah.
It's very low key. But I kind of just like the feel of this song a little bit more. It's a little bit more brighter than like the first song. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard the album yet. So I'm wondering if it's a lot like the first because I am obsessed with the first album. But yeah, most of the song I really like just the feel of it, and clearly her voice is. Clearly magical. I wasn't here when she came in and played music, so
yeah,
I don't
know.
The album is called Blood.
Okay. What was the
Unstoppable?
First? Yeah, I wasn't really
yeah,
feeling
wasn't
the first.
For some reason,
either.
I mixed them up, and I thought the album was called Unstoppable.
It's okay.
No. Anyway, foolish mistake.
I know what a fool I am. Anyway, yeah, I like this song a lot too. I think that Leanne LaHavis is the type. You've been on Leanne LaHavis for a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's one of those artists where I've been waiting for her. To really break through in terms of a song, like a singular statement that works for her certain set of skills.
Yeah.
I feel like this isn't quite there, but it's getting closer. I feel
yeah.
like this is kind of the prelude to something special, hopefully, on this second album. So yeah, it is a little bit more upbeat. It's a little jazzy. Like I feel like it's, but the melody is strong and I like it.
Yeah. I also really like this and agree. I also couldn't remember the name of that first single, but it didn't really do much for me. But, like, I like that this is more upbeat. I like that it kind of has kind of, like, that throwback, like, 70s jazz pop thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not outright jazz, but, like, what you would hear on, like, Top 40 radio, or at least what I've been told you would hear on Top 40 radio. I was not alive then, but I presume that Wikipedia doesn't lie to me. No, anyways, it's really, yeah, I love the piano. I like there's a line... where she's saying, I know you love me, I don't need proof. Like, it's always cool to hear a love song with, like, a sentiment that isn't, like, totally overdone, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a sentiment you don't usually hear a lot of someone being like, calm down, I know you love me. Like, usually it's the opposite in some, you know, something like that. So I thought it was cool, and she has a good voice, and I feel like, she just needs kind of, like, the right production. And I think, especially with something like this, you know, keeping it upbeat is good because you don't want like just a total downer of an album.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of her songs in the last album that were like a little bit somber were still very good, but it also went with the story. So it doesn't seem like that story fits within this single and the last single. So I am like interested in hearing like those type of songs also. But like Justin said, like this isn't like the song, so I'm wondering how the song, if she has one, kind of sounds like.
Only one way to find out.
Hey,
ask her.
I don't know. You're on a roll today, Joe.
Thanks.
Are you on the diet as well?
No, I did. Well, never mind. No, I was going to sound like I'm bringing. I did lose a few pounds when I was at Firefly, though. All that walking, I was like, man.
There was so much walking.
So much walking.
I walked like miles, and I it didn't matter because I ate so much, you know.
There's a lot of junk to
junk,
eat there.
Yeah. Although, Erica, let me ask you a quick question because you.
What about food?
You're from California.
Oh, yes.
Are you familiar with Wawa?
I am, but okay. I became familiar when I moved here.
Okay.
Yes.
So Joe had never been to a Wawa.
It's like huge in like Jersey and Philly.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Did not know what it was.
Yeah. So.
Isn't that kind of like a 7-Eleven?
It's 7-Eleven, but 100 times better.
And like cleaner. And like
anyone who is listening to this podcast and knows what a Wawa is like jumping up and down like, yeah, Wawa forever.
Why is there so much like pride behind?
There's just so, because it's just the best. Like the
he's a shareholder in Wawa.
The coffee's great. I wish. The coffee's, I'd be a rich man. I'd be a rich man. Coffee's great. Sandwiches are great. Wawa forever. That's all I'll say. Anyway, on our way back from Firefly, we stopped at Wawa.
Yeah, it was a really good donut. I got a donut. Yeah.
Stop talking
great.
About food.
Sorry. I mean, it was a really good carrot that I had.
It was a really good bowl of mush that I ate.
That's what I've been eating.
Bowl of flavorless mush.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're known for that.
Guys.
Anyway.
Sorry.
I'm dying.
Just kidding. We love you, Beyonce. all right. Let's listen to Leon LaHavis. What don't you do? I guess that's how we're going to pronounce
what
it.
What don't you do?
Exactly. It's what you don't do. The games you don't play. It's what you don't do. I've been saving up my time so I could spend it all on you. All right, that was Leon LaHavis. Next and last, we've got another one. This is my pick. This is a guy called Daywave. The song is called Nothing at All, and it's from the Headcase EP, which comes out sometime in July, I think. So basically, Daywave is just one guy, Jackson Phillips. I don't know a ton about him. I know he's from Oakland, California, or at least based out there. It's kind of like the indie music that I enjoy, which I don't mean to like pigeonhole it just to one thing, but it's got like, it's like sunny psychedelica, like it's got a pop vibe, like a throwback pop thing, summery. It kind of reminds me of like what the Smith Westerns did, or I guess still do, because I think they're still around, or I think they did break
they
up.
I think they broke up. Yeah,
yeah. Bummer. R.I.P. But and also I just kind of like speaking of with the last song. Unusual sentiments in music. I appreciate, so this is called Nothing at All, and the refrain is, what am I good for? And so it's like a depressing song, but I kind of like that. Like, I feel like there's something to be said. There's a lot to be said for empowering music, but there is also, I think, a lot to be said for an underrepresented thing in music, which is just like pop music set to like self-doubt and kind of like this sense of like pointlessness in life, like someone being like, wow, like what am I good for? Like, what's the point of my life? Like, not in a depressing, like suicidal way, just in a kind of like existential sense. And so I like
Joy Division.
I like to hear that. Oh, I love Joy Division. Well, obviously that didn't end well though. So, but yeah, so I'm like Daywave. I'm digging it. It's a good summer indie track. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, this was a pleasant surprise for the Must Hear Music podcast. Was not familiar with Daywave, and really liked what I heard. It reminded me a little bit of like Pains of Being Pure at Heart.
Yes.
In kind of that chiming indie rock. And I thought that this was just a really solid song in terms of the production more than anything. Like I thought the songwriting was good, but the production, everything was kind of like kept together and balanced in a way that I really appreciated. And you didn't really know where it was going, but you knew that it was entertaining along the way. So yeah.
Totally. And I think I might just skip Erica, because this is the one you said you thought just sounded exactly like the other one.
Yeah. Nice.
Unless you want to talk about it.
No.
Sorry. This is the best podcast I've ever been on with you.
I'm so nervous about next week.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm going to have to like sneak you some sugar, like against, without you knowing.
Yeah,
just
give
so,
her like a pixie stick.
Just so you, yeah, you, we can get like a good half hour of talking out of you. And it's not like you break the diet if someone breaks it for you against your knowledge, right?
No comment.
Yeah. Never
yeah, I
mind.
I guess not.
That's a weird, this is getting into weird territory. All right, let's listen to it. So Day Wave, Nothing At All. Right, that was Day Wave. Song's called Nothing At All, and that's what we got for this week on the podcast.
Yeah.
Do we? So, I mean, yeah. Tune in next week to see if Erica can make it. I mean, I guess at that point you'll be like what, 8 days deep into this diet?
8 or 9, yes.
8 or 9. Ugh.
Nice.
I feel can't count. I am gunning for you. I think of the two people doing it at our office, you're gonna be the one to make it.
Who wouldn't be the one to make it if they had to do it?
I don't want to name the person who wouldn't be the
one
to make it.
I kind of wish I was doing it, honestly. I mean,
if you want to write about
it, I just think with the caffeine, I couldn't. Like, honestly, like, I need at least. I would be
asleep
right now.
I don't drink caffeine, though. So
then you probably could do it.
I could do it. You never know, guys.
Anyways.
Tune in next week.
Yeah, tune in next week for the exciting conclusion. All right. But seriously, thank you for listening. If there are any good stuff, good songs you're listening to, any summer songs, tweet them in at us and have a great week.